Okay, I have a couple of more songs on the slides, and you all sounded so good, I'm going to ask you to sing again with me, or do what you can. I find that the servant song has a very good lyric in terms of exploring and developing ideas of compassion. You know, help each other walk a mile and bear the load, helping other people carry their load is in. And then there's also this empathy. I will weep when you are weeping, and when you laugh, I'll laugh with you. This kind of being with another person is an important part of this whole phenomenon of helping and identification and compassion. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant. And to let me just pause there for a moment. This is a kind of a prayer that maybe might have gone on between Peter and Jesus when Jesus wanted to wash the feet of Peter at the Last Supper. You know? We are pilgrims on a journey. We are travelers on the road. We are here to help each other walk a mile and bear the load. I will hold the cross. Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you. Speak the peace you long to hear. I will. Bravo, bravi. Okay. Now, here's one that is especially meaningful to me, and perhaps to many of you too. It's Irving Berlin's Always. It was came out in 1925. He dedicated it to his soon-to-be spouse. And it has some sentiments which really are worth looking at. I think one of the most important messages in this is that when the things you planned need a helping hand, he doesn't say, I'll fix it. He doesn't say, I'll make it all right. You know, he says, I will understand always. I envision this song as a song that God could sing to God's people. You know, this could come from our Creator. And the word understand isn't just simply, I get it. It can be a little more than that. It has about, if you look at the Oxford English Dictionary, it has about 14 meanings. The ninth of which is to stand under, specifically to support or assist. And it gives references to Shakespeare, 1591, in the play Two Gentlemen of Verona, quote, why stand under and understand is all of one. Or in 1601, in Twelfth Night, you read in Shakespeare, quote, "My legs do better understand me, sir, than I understand what you mean." So imagine that when you sing this song. And of course, the idea of being with you, which is in the second stanza, and then he reiterates, not for just an hour, not for just a day, not for just a year. You know, those of us who have bonded with a person or cared for a person over a long time, we know what this means, you know. And so let's give it our heartfelt rendition. I'll be loving you. For you. Well, I don't know. You never know how these things are going to go time-wise, and I'm looking at my watch and thinking, maybe we do have chance for some other songs, and there's a white handout, you know, that was on your chair. It's called Elements of Compassion in Popular Song. And I would be delighted to run through some of these with you and give you a chance as we sing them to think about the associations that I've suggested there. For example, this who else but God could have a smile on God's face for the whole human race? You know, that's a terrific line. What a day this has been, what a rare mood I'm in, why it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race, why it's almost like being in love. For the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And by the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I could swear I was falling. I could swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. Good. The next one on your handout, of course, is Always, and we just did that one. The one after that is a remarkable song by a woman named Catherine Lee Bates. Well, remarkable poetry. And it probably should be our national anthem. And it, you know, I just want to do the second stanza with you because it shows... You know, you can't really have compassion unless you have knowledge of everything, the warts and all. And we have a really difficult time in the United States
being aware of our flaws, even acknowledging that we have them. That wonderful question that Don put, what ails you, you know? I mean, this, we don't know how to ask that question of ourselves. And then the last line I particularly like, confirm thy soul in self-control. I was singing this to myself all while during the Iraqi build-up, you know. I'm just saying, hey, don't do this. Confirm your soul in self-control. And how much better off we would have been if we had done that. So if we had heeded the words of the wisdom of the song, anyway. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet.
Oh, beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassions tread a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the
How many people think of the story of the road to Jericho, to thinking of the Good Samaritan, and how many people walked by pretending they just didn't see? They saw, but they pretended they just didn't see. And this was the Pharisee and the priest and the Levite. Okay, my good wife helps me out frequently. This idea of laying down your sword and shield and studying war no more is a test of sincerity, I think. It's also called a test of good faith. And if you, you know, have ever looked carefully at such things as nuclear non-proliferation discussions and agreements and so on, and how slow they proceed, it's all a matter of lack of good faith, lack of sincerity, lack of willingness to really put it down. And we have this this wonderful movement right now in Santa Barbara with Joe White to try to work toward a year without war in 2020. So I think that idea is catching on, and I hope we can sing this song on the way to that objective, you know. Let's begin with, I'm going to lay down my burden. Let's start with that.
I'm going to lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm going to lay down my burden study war no more. I ain't gonna 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 study war. Now I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside and study war no more. I ain't
Speaking as a person who went through ROTC at Notre Dame, I studied war. I know what I'm talking about. If you turn the white sheet to the flip side, there's another song that has the perfect biblical message in it. And that is, oddly enough, "It Had to Be You." And it's that second to last line where it says, "With all your faults, I love you still." This is what God sings to us every day, you know? And it goes like this. Well, I'll start just the beginning of that song. It's not, the words aren't there. "It had to be you." Anybody that knows this, sing along. "It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be true, could make me be blue, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you." Now it's on your handout. "Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, try to be boss, but they wouldn't do, for nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you." Good. You all are doing so great. We probably do have time for another song. Would you like to try to remember? That's a good one, isn't it? I only have that much on it, so let's see if we can do that. "Deep in December, it's nice to remember, although you know the snow will follow." This is a song that, of course, says, "Without a hurt, the heart is hollow." It gives us a little bit of a reminder that, by golly, you won't really develop compassion if you haven't been in some ways damaged, hurt, compromised, injured, and otherwise suffered. You know, hey, welcome to the Christian message. This is "Deep in December, it's nice to remember, although you know the snow follow. Deep in December, it's nice to remember, without the heart is hollow. Deep in December, it's nice to remember, the fire of September that made you mellow. Deep in December, for you." You know, that next one I love. It's a song that Anna sings when she's introduced to the children whom she's going to have to teach, all the children of the imperial court. And so she has to break the ice, and of course, it's a song of discovery. It's a song of discovery of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about the other. And that falls right in, of course, with step 10 of our book, which is knowledge, learning about the stranger.
"Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, beginning to hope you like me. Getting to know you, putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I am with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed, suddenly I'm bright and breezy, because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day.
Oh, you all are great. You belong on Broadway. Now, are we ready for some Halloween lessons in compassion? I have to tell you that this one is all about, let's see, it's about the golden rule as seen through the lens of a medieval Englishman. It grows, there's a crescendo in this piece and then a diminuendo. It's just for one singer, a tenor, one horn, and probably a valveless natural horn, and then the string orchestra. It's an effort to kind of imagine a kind of, in the medieval mind, remember, this is, imagine a wake, you know, where what's going on is that the person that's just died is still in the house, as was often done. They kept them around for a while and prayed over the body and all that. And see, the fire and fleet and candlelight refer to what's in the house, but the next stanza says, when you pass away, that is to say, when you go to the next world, however you envision it, you're going to find some interesting steps along the way, and you're going to go to a place called Winnemweir, and if you ever gave hosen and shoon, that's, of course, you know, shoes and socks, sit thee down and put them on. You'll find what you gave right there. So put it on and keep going. And if you didn't give them, the whinnies are going to prick you to the bare bone. Right? And then in the next, it says, now if you pass by Winnemweir, you'll come to a really frightful place called Brigg of Dread. And this is not in the actual Britain setting, but this is another version of his old Yorkshire dialect poem. It says, anybody here speak Yorkshire? Oh, come on, Anne, come and read this to us. No, but you have a good British accent, and you might be able to get that right there. If ever you gave.
If ever thou gave a thy silver and gold, at Brigg of Dread they'll find foothold. But if silver and gold thou never give, nane, they'll down tumble toward hell of flames.
See, I knew she could do it. And then finally, if you get past that, you might just reach purgatory. And if you ever gave meat or drink, the fire shall never make you shrink, right? But if you didn't, you're in trouble. So let's go back to the beginning and see what this thing sounds like. That's the solo tenor.
Oh,
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. Oh, damn. How'd that happen? Continuing with the Halloween theme that I just... Now, this is the kind of thing that fired the romantic imagination from the get-go. It was the idea of death impersonated, coming especially in visiting a young, innocent person like a young girl. And of course, it isn't exactly what I would call compassion when death comes and takes a young person. This is not my idea of... But, of course, as I said earlier, the arts sometimes do hold up a mirror of what something isn't so that it gets you thinking about what it should be. And what's remarkable about this particular theme that comes, well, it's very popular in German Romanticism. What's remarkable about it is that the setting by Franz Schubert gives us the dialogue. It's an actual dialogue where the maiden is in kind of frantic state and she says, "Enough of this, go away, you ruthless skeleton, I'm still young, go and do not bother with me." And then death, of course, is impersonated as a much more serene, much less hurried individual. And he does not want to be perceived as an enemy, but rather as your friend. Ah, so, you can believe that if you want. So, here we go with... This is a Fischer Dieskau recording. He impersonates both the maiden and death, okay, in this little episode. When the deaf sings, he's in a monotone almost, and it's surrounded by these changing chords which you hear in the piano now.
Vorüber, ach vorüber, die wilde Knoten.